Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Today, before we start Acts once again next week, I would like to do a real simple message. 2 Thessalonians. We'll be looking at two different sections of 1 Thessalonians. The first will be found in chapter 1. And as you are turning there, if you would stand for a reading of the Word of God. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It is fitting. Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love that you have with everyone, with each other, all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, if you would, look at chapter 2, starting at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by Lord, because of God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word, or word and work. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word is truth. Guide us, Lord, direct us and bless us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we just went through a series of Advent, and if you remember, it was love, peace, joy, and hope. This message, if you will, is thank you. Me thanking you. I thank you. Now, before we get started here, the Church of Thessalonians, if you will, they were a very good example of the church today. See, they were battling persecution, they were battling false teaching, they were battling worldliness, and they were battling apathy. Now, and knowing that, Paul, again, been instructing them, he starts off with, again, something that we see in Scripture many times. They're twins. It's grace and peace. You cannot have the peace of God without His grace. But once you have His grace, then you should be experiencing His peace with Him. So Paul again says, again, grace to you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. And we are bound, we owe it to thank God always for you. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. And whose you are. Notice it's always. To thank God always. That word in the Greek means always. There's not a better word for it. It means always. If you notice, he says brethren. Now, again, knowing Scripture, it's brothers. But this means a familiarity. It means family. So if you will, we can extend it to say brothers and sisters. We can say brothers and sisters in Christ. We can say we are family in Christ. Now, we understand something about family, of course. We just spent probably a lot of time with our families recently. There's a connection. Whether it's a good one or a bad one, there's still a blood connection. It runs deep. And sometimes because it runs deep, it can also be very painful. But you spent time with family. You've spent time with loved ones. Some of you have known some of these loved ones since your birth, whether it's your parents or it's your kids. Some of you have known at a distance, but still when you get together, it's as if you've never lost a beat. It's family. Again, in Christ Jesus, we are family. And I know that sometimes it goes off to the side because, yeah, we're brothers and sisters. No, it's deeper than that. Just as blood is thicker than water, as they say, the Spirit is thicker than both. Though it took the blood to make you part of the family, it's the Spirit that joins each one of our hearts together. We are family. And if you will, I've seen that over and over and over again. And for that, I thank you. See, it's fitting because your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith as a family, it grows together. Us coming together helps that, encourages that, strengthens that. See, when we're apart, it can also isolate and weaken us. But together we are strong. Together we are one in Christ. Brothers and sisters sharing, or as Paul goes on to say, and the love every one of you all abounds towards each other. There's love demonstrated here. See, Christ tells us to love one another. As I have loved you, you love one another. Well, love's an easy word to say. Love's an awful hard word to back up. I can say I love you, and there's been a lot of abuses with that. No, love goes deeper than that because love is exceedingly, if you will, exemplified. And that's what I see here. I know that you care for one another. Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. See, love being exemplified, it bears with one another. What it means is it's willing to suffer with each other. It's willing to hold each other up. It's able to sustain, to suffer, to care. I've seen that here. You care for each other. You bear with each other's burdens. But see, it's also willing to forgive. Forgive each other. And I've seen it here. I've seen that when there is a complaint, that one goes to the other and expresses biblically what the problem is. I've seen that. Thank you. Thank you for governing yourself, and how you govern yourself really is about allowing God's Spirit to move and work in you and through you. Allowing Him to convict where you need to be convicted, to encourage where He encourages you, to push you where you need to be pushed, sometimes out of your comfort zone. And I've seen that. Thank you. Peter says this, and above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. What Peter means there, it doesn't mean that cover sins and just forget, hey, I just saw you murder somebody. Oh, hey, things happen. No, that's not what he's talking about. If you will, he means those little things, those irritations, those little small things that really don't really add up to a hill of beans. Is it really worth going and confronting the person? Or do you just let it slide? Do you realize that maybe that person just had a bad day? Or maybe the stress and everything else that's happening in their lives. And again, as your pastor, I have to tell you, thank you. Because I've seen that played out in this church, in this body, in this family. Now, that doesn't mean, again, like you cover the multitude of sins that separate us from Christ. Paul says in Philippians, he says, and this I pray that you love, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. See, that word knowledge means precise and correct knowledge and discernment. So it's understanding what the person is going through, but it's also seeing and understanding why the person did it. And having discernment, is this something that I need to confront? Is this something that I need to come up to this brother or sister in Christ and say, what in the blazes are you doing? And maybe that takes a holy slap across the face, and I don't mean literally. And I've seen that here. See, that's caring. That's loving. That's looking out for each other. And again, as a pastor, I thank you. On verse 4, you'll see, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. It's patience, it's consistency, steadfastness, endurance. How you stand in your faith as you endure through struggles and trials and challenges. How you're consistent in serving this body, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's setting up the chairs, whether it's taking down the chairs. However you serve here, I thank you. I want you to know something. It says, Paul says that I boast to the other churches. I have to be quite honest and frankly with you. We're a small church and I get asked all the time, so, how's your church doing? Now, in a human way, in a human perspective, it's like, because, you know, I'm talking to the person, they say, yeah, we went from 300 to 600, and you're going, oh, nice. But then, I boast about you. Why? Because I have never served such a God-fearing, God-loving, God-caring people. You care. You walk in your faith. Oh, we're not perfect. But again, you're mature and you're growing. I thank you. You didn't go for the theatrics, the lights, smoke machine, the drummer behind the glass wall. Pastor that's younger, hipper, cooler. A worship group that is larger. No, you've come for the basics. You come for what you see. Because we have nothing else to reveal to you. We come with just a simple message. The message is not us. It's Christ. It's Christ in you. It's the work of His Holy Spirit in and through you. That binds us together as a body. That continues us going forward. And I thank you. You see past the glitter. You desire simplicity, the simplicity and the sincerity of the Word of God. And again, thank you. Chapter 2, verse 13. Says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you to salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, if you look, you'll see the Trinity, the beloved of the Lord, God the Father chooses. The sanctification of the Holy Spirit or setting us apart by conviction. The Son again laying down His life. The Father choosing us before the foundation of the world. And that again is something that's wrapped around your brain, is very deep. But also it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's that separation that separates and convicts and brings us what? So we see predestination. Don't ever forget this. Because we'll have people that preach just predestination, then we'll have people that just say free will, But again, God does not give us that liberty or that full understanding, because we see predestination, but we also see belief in the truth, which is free will. God doesn't make anybody believe, but God knew you would believe. Look at verse 14. To which he called you to by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word obtaining means purchase, possession, what? Of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, if you will, in Romans 8:17 it says, and if you are children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Peter says it this way in his epistle, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power, who are kept by the power, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If that doesn't blow you away, then let me remind you what Peter says. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, you and I know something because we talk about it here. Why? Because Scripture tells us. What? Not only that we see the things here on this earth, but we look forward to that which is promised to us in the future. That no matter what struggles and tribulations that we're going through, we understand something. This is not our home. That you are heirs. That your royalty. Oh, it's not to boast one's ego up, it's to raise our eyes up. The reality of the truth. And I see that here. I do. And for that, I thank you. Look at verse 15. As we go forward, then what? As we continue desiring to walk closer to God, desiring to grow as a body, desiring to be again grasped in his arms. Look at verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast means stand firm. It means be immovable. Now listen, the danger is always slipping backward in our walk with the Lord. Because of our personal struggles, listen now. Because of our lack of Christian experience maybe. Or maybe, if you will, Christian experiences that we've had that we're trying to maintain. And sometimes, again, that can go astray. And that's what we see in the world today. People want to feel God. They want to see God move. God is not somebody that you can conjure up. God is not somebody that you can make a wish. God is not somebody that you manipulate. God is not the one that has come to bless you in the sense of what you desire. God is the one that He is in charge. He's the sovereign one. He's the God of who saved you, first of all, who created you, who saved you, and goes with you, who's promised you a place that's better than your eye could ever understand or see. But see, you understand that. You know that. And again, for that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your understanding and your growth in that, that your desire to know these things are true. And that's why you keep coming. You want to grow in your faith. But it's also important as we look at all the information that floods the world right now, that you can listen to guys that seem right, and they may be. But then they start attacking other brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, the reason I bring this up, because I just happened to watch a guy that came on talk about a pastor that I know pretty well and his teaching. I'm thinking, and he's telling me that this guy's off his rocker, and I'm like, what? And the thing, he just listened to one point that he made, and I just didn't listen to his other ones, was because he mentioned that you have free will. Just because of that. Now, if you come from a Calvin background and you believe in just predestination and that, you know, again, that Calvinism that doesn't believe too much in the free will part, does that mean we break up fellowship? No. Remember something here is, and this is what I appreciate about you. I know we don't all agree with everything that we teach here. Some things you may have, you know, like, I totally agree with that. And when they're the minor doctrines, when they're not the essentials, it's not something to separate with. And I see that here. I see growth here. I see encouragement here. I see the desire to know the truth and to look into the Word and to actually look at things maybe differently from a different perspective. That's called love, love in a body. That's accepting each other. We're not all on the same path, if you will, in one sense. We all have individual paths. We all grow differently. So my wife knows this as a teacher. She would teach kids where they can learn. I still remember my oldest son, because of his high energy, my wife decided to give him a ball to bounce on while he did his schoolwork to let out energy. So then he could actually function better. And it worked. You do something differently for each person. It's not better or worse. It's allowing the teacher to instruct. And what we do here is allow God to instruct, to teach, to guide. And see, as we open God's Word, God reveals to us, teaches us, instructs us, helps us along. But ultimately, remember, it's His revelation. It's His gospel. And sometimes He just teaches people differently, but the same truths. We always come back to the same truth. He is God and we are not. But see, I see that here. I don't see divisions. I don't see people arguing over points. And again, for that, I thank you. Of understanding that God is the teacher, that God is the instructor, and God is the lover of our souls. But I want you to notice something again in verse 15. He says, stand fast and hold. So again, stand fast means be immovable. But hold means to hold fast, not discard. Don't let go. To continue to hold. To retain. What? The traditions. Not the traditions you would think. Not what we see in churches. No, but speaking of here, it's giving over which is done by word of mouth or in writing. Traditions by instruction which you were taught by the apostles. That's the traditions he's speaking of. Now, if you notice also, he goes on. You were taught whether by word or epistle. By word is logos. It's the teaching doctrine. Again, of the apostles. It's our epistle. It's the word of God. It's the letters that were written. It was the gospels. It was revelation. Ephesians 2:20 says this. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It's the word of God. Not the traditions of men. Now, some of you come from different traditions. And it's not like they're evil in themselves. Traditions, if you will, are done correctly. What they do is help highlight or simplify or break down certain doctrines and truths. Or it, if you will, it helps and caters in worship. But it's never to take away from the Word of God or, if you will, worship, the true worship of God. Now, one writer puts it this way, traditions only reliable and authoritative are the inspired utterances of the apostles. That which is handed down to us in the inspired words of God any tradition which are contrary to the word of God are worthless and dangerous. Now, again, we've had some traditions that have been brought in here at times, and nothing's been wrong with them because, again, they enhance God's word and God's truth. There's nothing wrong with traditions, as I've already declared. But when the focus is on tradition and not God's word, then there's a problem and there's a struggle and there's confusion. But again, we come from different backgrounds, different traditions, and we've come together. There's not a contradictory here. There's not a confusion. There's not an argument that's displayed in the back that I can't believe that when we did the Lord's Prayer, we used the word debts rather than trespasses or vice versa, because we do switch them around. No. Why? Because, again, I see a body here that does desire to love in Christ, to grow in Christ, to be in Christ. For that, again, I thank you. Now, in verse 16, he says, now, may our Lord Jesus, wait, before I finish that, let me come back. So, going forward, we want to make sure something. The authoritative person in this church is not me, but Jesus Christ. The foundation that we teach from is not anything that I have declared of myself or I've written down, but it's God's word. It's not another teacher. It's not another instructor unless, again, expounds or enhances God's word and his truth. And I know something. Again, going back, I know something that you agree with that. And for that, thank you. I thank you for, again, holding on to what is true, discerning what is false, and going forward in our faith. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation or comfort and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Breaking it down very simply, is God is the one that establishes and strengthens and helps us to grow. God is the one that will enhance your faith. God is the one who will help you to grow in your knowledge and understanding. God is the one that will help you to love one another. God is the one. God is to be glorified here. God is the one that we focus on. And it's because of Jesus Christ we have the boldness to enter into the throne room. Because of God the Son, you have been given the right to be called children of God, heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The work that is being done in you, the sanctification of the saints, is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And if you will, there is nobody greater than the other here in this body. Though I may stand here in the front, it's only because I'm called to do this. You are equal to God as I am. We have different ministries, different callings, different gifts. And you understand this. I have not seen this in this group at all. There's no competition here. There's no jockeying for position. Nobody smoozes me, if you will. After the service, five people aren't going to come up to me, and again, please understand in the context that I'm saying this in, and trying to get close to me, because who am I? The ministry's with the body. It's you encouraging each other. It's you comforting each other. It's you loving each other. It's you ministering to each other. You're the priests. Each one. Each one of you has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses whom He desires And again, I have to tell you, I see this. And again, thank you. Now please, again, take that in context. It does not mean you can't come to me. It does not mean you can ask me to pray for you or tell me what's going on. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am saying is most of the ministry happens after the service. I see it. That's what a body's for. And again, I step back and I have to tell you, thank you. Thank you for being the people that God has called you to be. Thank you for being the congregation that God has called us to be. Thank you for continually desiring to grow. Thank you for continually desire to serve. Thank you for continually to be steadfast. Even sometimes when it seems hard. Even sometimes when it seems like nothing's happening. Understand that God is always at work. Understand that God will accomplish His purposes. He has never failed once. He never will fail. And He won't fail in your life. It's the openness and the desire to listen, to learn, to grow. It's the openness to come and desire to be used. And for that, again, I say, thank you. I do. In my conclusion, it's very simple. I thank you for who you are. Each one of you. Thank you for being a part of this body. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your steadfastness. And understand something. None of us are perfect. But He is. And He's doing a work in you and a work in this body. And for that, I'm thankful. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for just the truth of your word. We thank you for your loving kindness towards us, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have that is in Christ Jesus, the promises that we have that are in Christ Jesus. And they are amen, so be it. Lord, as we come to this new year, it's always a new year with expectations. A new year of hope and desire. Lord, our desire as a body is to continue on with what you have given us to do. I pray, Father, that we would continue to be used by you in ministering to one another, loving one another, caring for one another, forgiving one another, carrying each other's burdens, but growing and learning from your word, by your spirit, with precise knowledge and discernment. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage this body. Help each of us see of your great, wondrous hand that is at work. Bless, Father, this year. I pray that this year would be a year none of us would forget in a good way. So, Lord, have your way with this body. Continue to use this body. And help us, again, glorify your Son always. May you always be given the honor and the glory and the majesty, Lord, knowing that you have given us the power to do so. And we ask all these things in Jesus, our beloved Savior's name. Amen.